Welcome to Right on Track, a songwriting podcast. Thanks to Tone for tuning in. I'm Demi Michelle Schwartz, and I'm thrilled you're joining me on my songwriting journey. So kick back and relax, don't fall flat, and remember, stay right on track. Hey everyone, welcome back to Right on Track. Joining me today is Kirsty Krause. Hey, Kirsty.
Hello, what's going on?
I am doing fantastic. What's going on for you?
Right now, it's in the middle of the day. I'm in Florida. We have a show tonight. We're in the middle of a tour down here. I'm touring with my friend Chris King. And so it's a girls tour. And we're just bopping around to different spots around this area on the West Coast.
Fantastic. Well, I'm so excited to have you on the show today because we're going to be chatting about touring internationally as an independent artist. But before we get into that conversation, I would love for you to share a little about yourself and your journey in the music industry so far.
Awesome. Yeah, I started really young. I started at two, like singing and taking requests. And then I found myself doing theater and piano and dance all at the age of like 6, 7. I started writing songs at like 12, and I started making trips to Nashville at 15 and just continuing the writing. And I eventually moved to Nashville 6 years ago, and I've been full-time with music for a little over 8 years. So I've definitely toured all around in the United States, but I've always had my sights set on being also an artist that gets to tour over the big pond is what I call it, and getting out of my comfort zone for sure. So it's something that I've trying to be built on and trying to do for the last like 2-3 years, and I feel like now's the time to do it.
That's fantastic. You've definitely had a journey of starting at the beginning and building up to this point. And so I'm really excited to dive deeper into that whole transformation from when you started performing live to now doing an international tour. So starting at the very beginning, what kind of memories do you have from your first ever live performances, specifically with your original music?
My first original performances were when I was 11 or 12. I put a CD together, and at the time, even though I was just beginning writing, it wasn't songs that I wrote. So I put a whole CD together mixed of covers and originals, but the originals were from other songwriters. So I got their permission to cut their songs. And I remember bringing my little CDs to festivals, and I would see bands performing, and I would ask them if I can pop my CD in and sing to tracks in between their breaks at festivals. And I remember just walking up there, I'd be like, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, and be like, can I please sing during your break? And my stage presence at the time was very, very candid, very like broad arm show choir movements, but like that's really all I knew how to do.
I love that so much. And now you're doing band stuff when you started with, this is me and my CD.
Yes.
That's so cool. So when you started to get deeper into the performances, how did you go about finding musicians to perform with you?
Ooh, I mean, I've gone through like, just in my time in Nashville, probably interviewed like 50 some different bass players. I mean, maybe not that much, but a lot. Like, it's really important to me that they like the music that they're doing, and they're down with my sound. And it's also important to me that they are a good hang. And that, you know, we spend a lot of time together if I bring them out on the road. And so I just want them to be like just good humans overall, like people I want to surround myself with. So that's taken time to find the right people to be in a band with. But I've been in all kind of band scenarios and settings, and with people that I just go into church sometimes and sing with them. I sing with a band at church, and that's always fun because it's so many people coming together with so much experience, like all different walks of life. They've each had their own careers in their own right. So me coming in, I'm like, oh my gosh, I get to play with these people. That's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, they sound amazing. So it's just been a whole lot of work and a whole lot of reward at the same time.
Yeah, no, for sure. I've never performed with musicians because I don't perform a whole lot in general, but I perform acoustic myself every time I do play. And so I don't fully understand the whole, like, finding all the musicians and putting together a band. But I do understand what you're pointing out about you need to be working with the right people, especially when you're creating music that you care about. You want whoever you're performing with to care about your music too and be excited about it. And I feel like I've had just a similar experience with my producer. I'm finding a producer that I connect with and who likes my music and who I have fun with, because you need to have a certain foundation relationship aspect in order to create that music, whether you're in the studio or playing live. And so I think no matter what we're doing in music, it's really important to work with people who you connect with and work well with.
Yeah, and there's so many little nuanced things to make the big picture, to present your music how you want to present. So when I say that, I'm talking about, like, how the drummer plays and what pedals the guitar player has and what guitar he has. There's so much to think about to, like, really represent music you want. And I actually am the opposite of you. I have more experience fronting bands. I did the whole cover band thing well in my home state and in the Midwest. So I have more experience fronting a band and being in a band than I do acoustic shows. But once 2020 hit, I was like, okay, this looks like a lot of acoustic shows right now. So I'm going to pick up the guitar again and we're going to love on each other and have a relationship again. And me and the guitar are going to get along and this is what it's going to look like for a while. So I really have focused on a lot of more acoustic shows in this past couple of years. And if I told myself 2 years ago that I was going to go over to the UK, you know, for 5 weeks and play a bunch of acoustic shows, I would have been like, you're crazy. But it's awesome to be able to say that sentence and have that be true. Like, I am proud of the hard work that I've put into to get better and more comfortable with just me and the guitar.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that so much. And honestly, I love full band shows, but I think when you have an artist and their guitar, it's just a guitar and vocals, the intimate level of those kind of performances are my favorite, because it's really like you're getting to know the artist, and as a songwriter too, like the stories behind the songs, and it's just you and your guitar. I just, like, really love those performances more personally.
Yeah, and for a while I had people come me. So now that I have the guitar in my hand when I'm performing, I can decide the tempo. I can decide how I'm going to sing something. I can decide the ad libs at the end, like just be really, like, present in the moment rather than having to be boxed in to sing it a certain way every time. You know what I mean? I can just decide on the spot and feel it. And that's been really rewarding.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love that. I mean, there's so many times where I will just, like, improvise lines or, like, repeat a chorus or, like, add extra measures between verses and the chorus, just, like, to do it. Because when you're doing something acoustic yourself, you're right, you can be in the moment, you can feel the energy of the audience, and you can adapt on the spot, versus exactly what you're saying with a band. If one person goes off with their vibes, everyone's going to get thrown off because you're not going to be together anymore. So this is a nice transition into another question I have for you, which is with the rehearsing. So when you were working with bands versus just doing acoustic yourself, obviously there's a lot more rehearsing involved with getting the musicians together versus now you're just doing things on your own. So what insight do you have into this?
I think the more you can give a band prior, like, you know, the chords and the lyrics. And then I also, like, anytime I am performing with a band, I try to get the full entire video. Like, I will put it back by the sound booth and get the whole festival. So, like, if it's a 45-minute set, if it's 75-minute set, I just take the whole thing, and I will actually upload that in a private link on YouTube. And so anything live, I will show them exactly how I play live rather than just give recordings. And I'll be like, hey, I really like what the drummer did here. Like, just do that. They're not playing to the recordings when we're on stage. We're doing live shows. So I think the more, like, giving them the recording of a song that's out that you have, you know, a single, but then also giving them a video of you doing it live, because it could be different. I think it's really important.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. That's really interesting. I love that. I think your process works really well, and I'm happy that we really pay attention to, like, how can you communicate what needs to be done and making it efficient. And I think that's really great how you have the song, you have the musicians, and then, you know, have the video and have the direction so everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing.
Efficiency is, like, everything to me. That's, like, a key word right there. Like, you have to. Sometimes I, you know, just even via email back and forth to other people, like, just giving them every information that they would need ahead of time. Like, oh, I've already attached my W-9 and here's a promo photo. Like, so that we don't even have to do extra emails back and forth to ask for it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
efficiency is everything when you run, like, kind of a crazy schedule, you know? So I do rehearse with the band. A lot of times it's really nice to have the set list order figured out. I'll do that right before I go in for, like, the official rehearsal. And then I just feel it out and I vibe out what the order feels like as we're running them in order, you know? And that also, I feel like, helps the musicians start to place your songs in their mind as far as, okay, this song's something new. That's the doo-wop song that's kind of like right before this song that is very guitar heavy. Like, they can start piecing it in their systems. So I feel like having the set list ready to go. And then also I do specific notes in the front of my song titles that say who's starting each song as just a reminder. So guitar or like drum start this one, or the whole band is in together on the top, like little notes like that, and encouraging them to like make their own notes too, I think is really helpful. And I also love to talk about like transitions. Transitions are really important.
So oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it sounds like you have a really great process, like I said. And I think it's really important, like you said, too, the more information you give somebody and the more detailed you are, the easier it's going to be to convey, because there's not going to be any space for confusion if you literally lay it on black and white what you want and where. So transitioning now into more of the touring aspect, before we jump to planning for an international tour, how have you developed your skills over the years with touring in terms of, you know, what comes with being on the road, being away from home, traveling so much, the mental health aspect of it? What can you share on this?
Yeah, I think I've definitely got better at packing. One like really random thing that I do that helps me pack and prepare for a trip. I've told a couple of people recently, but let's say I frequent Florida a lot. So let's say I was in Florida around the same time last year, which I was. What I would do is go back to my Google Photos from last year, February, March, and see what I was wearing then. Kind of look at the vibe. I also will just, so then I'll just like pull clothes that I've worn in the past that kind of work. It's like, okay, yeah, this is what I like to wear in this part of the States. So that kind of helps me pack quicker. I also have a specific Florida drawer where I open it in my dresser and it's all Florida t-shirts, like stuff I would need, sunscreen, like everything is just kind of like right there in a dresser drawer, which is interesting. But that helps me a lot as far as packing. It was really hard for me at first and it was very daunting and it gave me a lot of anxiety. So little tricks like that definitely helped me a whole lot. Other skills, I mean, as far as like taking care of myself on the road, I definitely bring things. I eat a lot of fruit on the go, like anything that I can make on the go that's really easy. And like, I bring wraps, I bring blueberries, I bring apples and bananas. I quickly make, you know, a wrap with like some eggs and some ham and just kind of like simple stuff. I keep it very simple because your body's already not in shock, but it's altered because you're going to a new environment. So you have to make sure you really take care of it, and drinking so much water, like over the top amount of water that you would your normal 6 water bottles a day, at least that's my number. Drinking more than that would be ideal. That would make me feel a whole lot better.
So much great information, drinking the water, having food that you can make easily. And I really also like your whole process for planning for a trip, and you have a kind of system down, because honestly, like, I've never done like a tour before, but I would be so stressed, like, oh my god, what clothes do I bring, what are the things I need to bring. So I feel like after you've done it for a while, you kind of have that process down, like, okay, Kirstie, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, you have like your staple, you're like, okay, I always wear these shorts, I need black shorts, these are staple things, I need, you know, the jean jacket, I need, like, and you kind of get in your flow of like, this is what I for sure need to like have everything covered. And then if it's a specialty show, I will just grab like an additional, you know, make sure I have like a special outfit for that, for that festival or show. But
yeah, absolutely. So shifting into the business aspect, do you do all of your bookings yourself, or do you have someone doing that for you for the States before we transition into international?
Yeah, I actually do all booking myself. Sometimes I work with a promoter where people have reached out and been like, hey, we're interested in booking you for this festival. So then I have to work with like a middleman for that. But most, like, I would say over 80%, like 90% of shows I'm booking myself.
That's fantastic. Oh my goodness. Shout out to you.
It was, you know, it can be a lot, but at least I have a complete say of like where I'm going to be when, you know.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah, no, I personally just like doing stuff myself. Like, I don't have like a man, I don't even have a manager, I don't have a publicist or anything. Like, I like being in control because I know my music, I know my brand and what I want and my communication style and my organization and my calendar. And it's just so much easier to do things myself. And also too, with the relationship aspect too, I feel like if you're working with someone who's just doing everything for you, I think you miss out on the genuine connections that you really need to make in the industry to like get places. And so I think, you know, doing things yourself and making those connections yourself definitely helps.
100%. I do feel like it's way easier. My life is way easier. The fact that when I perform at a venue in person and they feel like they can just text me or email me and they feel like they have the relationship with me. Right. It definitely makes it a lot easier to do return visits and be like, hey, and text them and be like, hey, I'm coming back to this area around these dates. Can we work something out? They're like, yes, of course, because they know you individually.
Right. Yeah, no, it's really, really important. So now chatting about the UK tour, super excited for you. Also really jealous. I love the UK. I've never been there, but everyone over there is so freaking nice. And I feel like they're my extended family at this point. So hope to get over there at some point. But how did you go about booking the tour for the UK?
Yeah, well, in order to explain it, I feel like to back up a little bit. Like, when the world shut down in the sense of like there was also no shows happening, there was no live events in person happening for a while, that's when I started, just rather than doing booking emails, I started reaching out to the UK brands and just introduced myself to people and asking them if I can do a takeover or if we'd like to do an interview or just get to know each other or do a write. Like, I definitely just like shifted my focus to do that. And so I feel like now, fast forward time, I have like friends over there.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
I have people that I message on WhatsApp, you know, I definitely didn't do it alone. I feel like there was a lot of people that helped me make 5 weeks possible. And there's artists that I'm performing with, like Male Vocalist of the Year, Matt Hodges by the BCMAs. I'm going to be doing shows with him. And my friend Lisa T and just Thomas Kavanaugh and a bunch of other artists. So like, they helped me to point me in the right direction as far as like, maybe reach out to these people to email, or they put the show together and I'm joining them. So having, you know, over 22 shows was not just my doing. It was definitely through relationships. And that's one of the things I can't say enough when people try to ask me questions about how I book. It's like, I book shows and this many shows because of relationships that I have, because I can just text people and ask them, oh yeah, I would love to play there. Do you happen to know the person's name that I should be like addressing this email to? You know, like, that all that stuff helps.
Yeah. No, again, you wouldn't be able to do any of that if you had somebody booking all this stuff for you. Like, you would not have made all these connections. And I completely agree. Like, COVID sucked. But one of the silver linings is, like, the amount of international friends I've made who have, like, blogs, podcasts, radio shows, like, magazines, like, all the things. And, like, you and I were, like, part of many things at the same time. Like, I saw your name pop up all over the place. And it was a lot of the UK stuff. And everyone over there is fantastic. So you're going to have such a blast over there meeting all of them in person. And the tour is coming up quickly. So I'm sure that there is some more planning involved from just touring around the States versus actually going across the pond. So can you give some insight into that?
Yes, I've been learning a lot. There is more planning involved as far as, like, I'm not going to stable places. I'm going to brand new places. So I had to figure out where I was staying, my accommodations. I had to get a certificate of sponsorship in order to be there for more than a month, because I'm actually, you know, going 5 weeks instead of 4 weeks. So I had to do all that paperwork. And then I also booked all of my big trains in advance. So anytime I'm going from London to Manchester, that's a longer train ride. And I had to, like, make sure I went to the train line app in advance and book that train, so I for sure have booked place, because they will run out of spots and then I won't be able to have as many choices as far as times of the trains to get on. So I did that probably a couple weeks ago already, like a month in advance, if not a little over a month in advance, booking those big trains. That was the biggest thing that I, like, was not in my brain at first as far as, like, a task to do before I got over there. But, and being international, I'm going to have to go to my cell phone provider and put a plan, an international plan in place right before I get over there in order to be able to use my cell phone and get onto internet when I'm over there.
Oh, so much.
it's a lot.
Are you going?
It's just a totally different part of the world. Am I what?
Are you going by yourself?
I am. I'm flying over by myself. But I won't feel like, I won't feel by myself, only because I have people to call. Yeah. And I'm also staying with friends and people that I've met. So there will be times where I am by myself, where I have to take my guitar, take the train into the London venue and make sure I show up for my show on time and get on the right train, you know. But that is something that, although gives me a little bit of anxiety, I am excited about doing it and taking on the responsibility and proving to myself that I can do it.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Because I am a little anxious about it. Yeah.
I love that so much. So I have a fun question for you. Do you have a certain song of yours that you're most excited to play over there?
Ooh. That is a great question. I'm really excited to play a song called New Sin City, because I think the craze of an American going over to the States and an American being in from Nashville, I think it's going to be really fun to be able to share that song and be able to sing a song that's about the Broadway scene and the craziest of the fun and the craziness of Nashville. Broadway scene. So I'm excited to do that song, and especially with a full band. And I'm excited to share my new song that is coming out March 29th, and that is Dabba Dolly. So I'm really excited about sharing that song in person and live. And I've only played it probably like 7 times total so far. So I'm excited to continue to put this song out there and share it and get ready for the release, because I will be releasing music overseas for the first time. Like, I will be celebrating a single release in the UK, which is nuts.
So exciting. Oh my goodness. So you mentioned the set list a couple of times on our chat so far, but for this tour specifically, because it's just you and your guitar, what was your strategy in picking your set list? Because obviously over the years you've released a lot of music. So what was your strategy of picking which songs you wanted to play?
Yeah, I don't have written out, like I have a written out set list for the band show. Other than that, I don't have a set list per se. Even just because I play live so much, I kind of know like, okay, these chunk of songs are going to go if I'm doing a 3-hour show or if I'm doing a 3-minute show. I kind of know which songs fit where, just kind of in my head. But there's definitely staple songs that I will make sure I do at every show. And I've already, like, I guess I haven't written them down, but I've definitely subconsciously like thought about what songs do I want to be playing on my first UK tour, you know, and what songs am I super excited about? So I think I've just subconsciously thought about it at this point, but I definitely will be making sure I hit the staples.
Yeah, absolutely. So the UK tour is coming and this is going to be a blast for you. But in the future, are there any places in the world that would be a dream for you to perform at?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm going to go everywhere and perform in every country. I think ideally, like I want to go into Canada. Yeah, also want to go into Australia. In the future,
so cool.
I want to, yes, I know. And then in the future, I want to go over to the UK, but then also go into Germany and Switzerland and France and Ireland and make sure I hit all of those as well. So do a tour over there, but be hitting multiple countries. That's kind of my next step as far as after this big tour. So I'm just excited. I'm always thinking the long game and what are the next steps. And
right.
Sometimes that's a fault because I have to remind myself to just like be in the moment and be excited about what I'm doing right now as well. And so I just have to balance that. But I am really, really pumped about just going out of my comfort zone and coming up for 5 weeks and doing 20 some shows. Like it's everything that I've wanted to do, and the fact that it's almost here is just awesome. It's like a pinch myself kind of thing.
No, for sure. And definitely be in the moment. I know it's always great to look to the next thing and the next big adventure, but I really resonated with that because I have a song on my new album coming this year. It's called Future of Yesterday, and basically it's about being in a situation and living something that I had wished for years ago. And when I was in the moment and that experience, I was looking forward to the next thing until I realized it was gone. And what I had hoped for was something that is in the past now. And it was like, I didn't allow myself to experience it because once upon a time I was looking forward to that. And now that's my future of yesterday. So I think like, it's really, really great to remember to be in the moment, have fun. You busted your butt to get here. You planned so much, you've worked so hard over the years, so just enjoy it.
Oh my goodness, that's such a great theme for a song. I mean, that's I can't wait to hear it, and congratulations on the music coming out this year. That's amazing. I love it.
Yeah. So just to wrap up, what advice do you have for any artists who haven't done a full tour yet but they are thinking about doing so?
Advice, I would definitely take advantage of any time that you have, whether you're staying at people's houses or hotels. If you have a couple hours that you can travel to get closer to your next destination. I know this is so like my, like I feel like instead of a big I'm doing a microscope thing instead of a big picture, but really little things like this do help a lot. And let's say you get out of the venue at 10 PM, but you're not going to go to bed till 12:30, you know that about yourself, then plan to drive those 2.5 hours, get yourself tired, and then get to your destination where you're going to sleep. Like any of that free time and free energy that you have, use it so that you can travel less the next day. That would be one thing, little minor thing to like think about. Remember to like, I always have a plan. Like I have a whole tour schedule and I write down in a spreadsheet what time I'm leaving for the show, what time is the sound check, what's the address that I'm staying there tonight. Like I have this whole format and I can definitely send it to you, Demi. It's essentially like what a tour manager would make for your tour. And I found that really helpful to put it in the hands of everybody that's a part of the tour so that they know what the schedule is and you don't have to repeat yourself or think about it or go look it up on yourself. It's just in one sheet that has all the information you need to know.
Yeah, perfect. Again, you're so organized. Shout out to you.
I definitely am type A.
So yeah, that is a wrap on our chat and good luck on the tour. I know you will have so much fun. And before we wrap things up here, I would love for you to share with everybody where they can find you online, check out your music, and check out the tour dates if they are in the UK and would love to see you perform.
Awesome. Yes. You can find all the tour dates under kirstykraus.com. You can sign up for the mailing list. You'll get notifications, but if you basically go to the website under kirstykraus.com, that will have everything there. That's kind of the hub for everything. And Demi, thank you so much for having me on Right on Track. I mean, it's been such a joy to talk with you. You have such a great energy and personality, and it's finally we're connecting after being like set the same lists and all these things. So it's really cool to be able to connect and just thank you for helping me celebrate this upcoming tour. It means a lot to me.
Oh, absolutely. It was such a joy having you. It was lovely talking to you finally. And listeners, I hope you enjoyed this wonderful conversation with Kirsty. And of course, until next time,
stay right on track.